Prabhupada ki, Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki, Kanti Vaishnavrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us here on this impromptu Sankirtan seminar on book distribution. We are scheduled to have 2 hours, so we'll use the time wisely. I will show you a couple of videos. We'll have some talk, some presentation, some questions, and hopefully you can walk away with something that's meaningful and productive for your own lives. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for coming. I know this is not a seminar that gives you credits, so it's not required to attend it. In case you didn't know that, you can still escape. Did you have good lunch? Yes.
Haribo.
Okay. You're not so sure, huh? You don't have to agree with anybody. So, we got to do a couple of things. But before I get started, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Navinanira Dadas. I'm from Zurich, Switzerland. I joined approximately 30 years ago to this day in Zurich. At the age of 15, I dropped boarding school in my ninth grade and joined the Sankirtan Army of Mahaprabhu because when I went to the Zurich temple, I met some very special people who were very attractive, very compelling, and very intriguing all at the same time. I know it sounds like a conflicting type of mix of emotions, but that's something that you have to get used to in Krishna consciousness. As you know, when you study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, some of the mellows are compatible, some of them are contradictory. But as they say, all is well that ends well. It all comes out depending on the advancement in devotional service really depends on the attitude of the practitioner. So what is our attitude? What are we trying to get out of this? So, last past 30 years, I've done many things, but mostly been traveling and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books all around the world. And it's been a great fortune and blessing to be allowed to take part. So I feel very fortunate to call Mayapur my home, and to be able to take part here in Bhakti Vaibhava, and to be in your association. So, I'd like to hear from you, what are your expectations for this seminar? Because honestly speaking, for me, I don't have any expectations. So, I'd like to hear in one word or less, what is it that you came for? I know that sounds a little direct, but that's the way how we are, so bear with me. Patrick, you want to start?
I came here to...
Thanks for volunteering.
Okay, sure. So I'm new to the consciousness, like literally about 3.5 weeks. So I just came to get taste,
okay. Can somebody write that down for us, please? Do we have a scribe, somebody with a legible handwriting? It's not me. Any pen, just... Okay, taste, what else?
Inspiration.
Inspiration, okay. Maybe we need two scribes. Do we have another scribe?
I don't see it.
We'll put the lights on later on, you know. The magic, it will all be revealed.
Experience.
Experience, okay.
Compassion.
Compassion, good. There's no right or wrong answers. Whatever goes around in your mind, in your heart, you know. If you came for a free lunch, I'm sorry to disappoint you. You know, I wanted to bring the bananas from my garden, but my friend Jai Sachi said, no, don't bring the bananas, you know. We still need them. We want to eat them for breakfast. So there's no free food here today. Yes?
Skills.
Skills, okay. Sachi.
Testimony.
What's that?
Testimony.
Testimony.
Yes.
From whom?
From the leader.
Some tips, okay.
New ideas for the
future. Ideas.
Mercy.
I want to see how many go out after the seminar.
Okay, you want to see how many people leave in the next 2 hours here?
How many people go out?
Oh, okay. How many actually
take it to heart?
Put that most difficult step of all steps, right? Actually, when we go out, a lot of times we think that sankirtan is very difficult, and you know, you have to face the public and you have to deal with rejection and with criticism on arguments and know this, know that. The most difficult thing that there is the first step. So what we do is, usually, we say there's no expectations on you. When you go out the first time to do books, all you have to do, your quota to pass is you just put the foot on the street, okay? Mm-hmm. Can you do that?
Yes.
Is that possible? Okay? You just take a book in your hand and you put one foot out on the street. And that's already a success. That's already good enough. Okay? So, very often we put the mark up here. And we say, okay, pure devotional service, at least 100 books a day. Can you jump up here? And the mind says, impossible, right? But if we make it easy, and sankirtan is fun and easy, that is something that you can write down in your student handbooks. It's one of our mantras. Is fun and easy. We'll explain why in a minute. Do people like fun?
Yes.
Yeah, do you like fun? You're not so sure, huh? We're not supposed to have any fun here, right? We're supposed to be very serious devotees, right? No. Krishna consciousness is susukam kartumavyayam. It is joyfully performed, and that joy is ever increasing. Before going out of your room, or your cave, or your dorm, or wherever it is that you're residing, look into the mirror and ask yourself, would I like to meet this person? And if not, why not? And what can I do to change that? Because people take one look at you, and within a split second, they'll decide whether they want to talk to you or not. I know it sounds grotesque, it sounds very brutal, but it's the facts of life. Telling you 30 years of experience. If they see a grumpy old man or woman, or even worse, a young grumpy man, that's even worse, then immediately their mind goes into rejection mode. And they say, no, I don't need this in my life. You know, I got enough grief by myself. I don't want to share your misery, okay? So, the face is the index of the mind. This is just as a little warm-up, as a little appetizer, because I know you had heavy lunch, and you know the digestion is kicking in, and not, the blood is not all up here in the brain, it's down in the stomach. So, what are the first three things that people see when you meet people?
Smile.
Yeah. The first thing is your smile, right? That's the first thing people see. It's your smile. What's the second thing people look at?
Dress.
Body language or presence.
Yeah. Sorry, it's stitched cloth. Anyway, it's your dress, your shirt. Okay? What's the third thing people look at?
It's all for the lady.
Eyes.
No, that's part of it. You got the eyes, you got the face. What's the next thing you look at?
Footwear.
Shoes.
So, guys would never guess this, but that's what people look at. And according to these, if this looks okay, then it's okay. I will talk to this person. If it doesn't look okay, I won't talk to this person. It's as simple and easy as that. We got the 80-20 formula, and that comes up in a lot of things that, like in your Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vai Bhava, you work 80% to get 20% of the result, and the other way around. So 80% we focus on things that really don't matter that much. And out of the 20% you get the 80%. Out of this you get most of your scores or of your returns. We'll get to that. We'll unpack it. We'll explain it. So this seems like very external and not very relevant. For most people, when they see a person approaching them with a book, it's over before it even started. Whatever can go wrong, goes wrong in the first 3 seconds and in the last 5 seconds. That means right at the beginning and right at the end of the interaction. So we'll talk more about these things. Any others that you wanted to add here that you feel?
Realization.
Okay.
I mean, describe again, because I can't even read my own handwriting most of the time. Can you help me with this thing?
Realization, what else?
Patience.
Okay, anyway, you can still bring them up.
Steadiness.
Okay.
Enthusiasm.
New techniques.
How distribution is different from distributing in Western countries and in India.
Okay, different places, different scenarios.
Some Bengali lines.
Okay. Good. All right. Okay, are you satisfied with that? Otherwise, you can still bring him up if something comes up to your mind. All right. So, why am I here doing this workshop? Mayapur is my home. When I'm at home, I don't work. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but Patrick and Mimi had a discussion about this. Home is the place where you can, you know, kick off your shoes, you know, let your socks lie around, and, you know, you chill. Home is not the place where you work, right? So why am I doing this seminar? Because my friend, Radhika Nagar Prabhu, asked me to do this workshop. Now, we've taught many seminars here, and it's wonderful to do devotional service wherever we are, but as devotees, we're people, and people respond to the desires of other people. Because at the end of the day, everything boils down to relationships. Sambandha Gyan, you're studying Bhagavad Gita, Ishopanishad, Nectar Instruction, Nectar Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? You want to get Sambandha Gyan. We want to get knowledge about the Supreme Personality Godhead, what is our position, what is our relationship, and how we can actually practice that relationship of devotional service. Does that sound somewhat correct? Okay? So, in the same way, when we do Sankirtan, or any kind of devotional service, why are we doing it? Why are we engaging in this service? What is our motivation? What are we trying to get out of this? That's
pleasure.
Something very important.
Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Please Krishna.
Please the spiritual master. What else?
Relationship.
Relationship, yeah. What does relationship mean? You know? What does relationship mean? It's a big word, you know, but what does it mean?
We're glad to become free from this alienation feeling we have.
Yeah, we have that void that we're trying to fill with so many substitutes. Mm-hmm. Basically, bhakti is about receiving the love of Krishna and sharing it with others. Does that make sense? Is that kind of somewhat? And Sankirtan is a big part of that. Because the more you give, the more you get. When I came to the temple, I was a sports fanatic. So I asked, okay, what's the most difficult thing and what's the thing that will give you the fastest advancement? They said, you have to do books. So I said, okay, I'm in. You're going to do this. So, Sankirtan, what does Sankirtan mean? First of all, I'd like to know, how many of you here are Sankirtan devotees? We got a few. What kind of devotee are you?
He helps me do Sankirtan.
Okay, so he's a Sankirtan devotee. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're a Sankirtan devotee, okay? We don't have kitchen devotee, gurukul devotee, farm devotee, grihasta devotee, I'm a retired devotee. Retired devotee? What is that? It's like, okay, I don't do anything anymore. Even if you got your flat in Mayapur and your money is in the bank and you get your residual income, you gotta still do something, right? You can't just be inactive. As devotees, we do devotional service. What kind of devotional service do we do? We're part of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varna Tisha Krishnam Sangopanga Shaparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is the process that actually works to become Krishna conscious and to share Krishna consciousness with others. When Krishna left this world, Krishna Svadam Upagate Dharma Gyana Divisaha Palamashadam Drishamesha Puranar Pudunodita. All the religious principles took shelter in Srimad Bhagavatam. So even though Krishna left this world 5,000 years ago, because he's so merciful, Srimad Bhagavatam is still present here. And we can still associate with Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the mercy of our acharyas, by the mercy of Srimad Prabhupada especially, he has made Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, accessible to all of us. In the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was very difficult even to find the Bengali Chaitanya Charitamrita. I know it sounds hard to believe. Can you imagine? You know, this is Bengal, and they couldn't find the book. Can you imagine you go for Bhagavatam class and everybody's kind of frantic, you know? It's kind of like, we can't find the book, you know? Okay, you have some e-readers, somebody's got a copy. Can you imagine the book is not there anymore? That's terrible. And Prabhupada made these books available in a way that it's accessible for everybody. The scholars, the religionists, the simple people, the powerful people. So, before you start any project, any venture, you ask yourself, what is the task at hand? What is the project? The project is Sankirtan. And that means Samyakirtan. Together to spread the glories of the holy name. Through chanting, through distribution of books, and through distribution of prasad. And if you put these three together, you have what?
Sankirtan.
It's called the magic formula. You know, it's like nuclear fusion. You get a boom, you get an explosion. And you can see, when people come in contact with the holy name, with prasadam, and with the books, and they see a devotee who smiles, and who is inspired, and who is kind, something happens, you know? Have you ever witnessed that? I'm sure you all have. That's why you're sitting here. It's called the magic of Sankirtan. People want to see the magic. It's not so much about big philosophy. It's about experience. We're talking realization here. A couple of days ago, I had lunch with one very senior devotee of our movement at GBC in Sannyasi. And he told me that if he would not have been having this experience of book distribution in his formative, in his first few years in Krishna consciousness, he would have pointed with his finger at his authorities and told them, you have cheated me. That's pretty heavy, huh? Now, we're not going to have a show of hands, but I'm not sure how many of you are working under an authority. I think a lot of, you know, independent operators, a lot of people who are making their own decisions in life are here. So there, you have to point the finger to yourself. That if I do not experience Sankirtan, I'm going to cheat myself. And that's kind of sad, because if you are this close, but you're not making it just because of some mental blocks, or because of some psychological blocks, or some wrong expectations, then it's very sad. So, relationship means I want to please another person, because when I see that person happy, I derive more pleasure and happiness than if I just do my own thing. That's bhakti. That's what we're trying to do. So Srila Prabhupada, as the founder of Acharya of ISKCON, he clearly outlined the purposes of this society. I'm sure you're all well aware of the seven purposes of ISKCON. If not, this is your homework. Please look them up and learn them. You can memorize them, or you can just paraphrase them, or you know, any company you go in, behind the receptionist, they have this nice little plaque where it says mission statement, right? And then you have some, you know, fat, happy-looking kind of person, you know, who is there, you know, like the CEO or the owner, and there's a mission statement there. So what's the mission statement of ISKCON? There's the seven purposes of
ISKCON. Distribute books.
That's part of it. That's part of it. There's seven of them, and it's quite comprehensive. It's very broad, and at the same time, very specific. So please look it up at your own leisure. Now, Srila Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya, he could have just told everybody, okay, this is it, this is what you must do, this is the order of the Acharya. But here, he's giving a class in Los Angeles, and I'd like you to watch closely and listen attentively what Srila Prabhupada conveyed.
So we have to simply take instruction from Guru, and if we execute that to our heart and soul, that is success. That is practical. I have no personal qualification, but I simply try to satisfy my Guru. That's all. My Guru Maharaj asked me that if you get some money, you print books. So, there was a private meeting talking, some of all my important in God brothers also there, it was in Dada. So, Guru Maharaj was speaking to me that since we have got this Bhagavaja and marble temple, there has been so many dissensions. And everyone thinking we occupy this room or that room, that room. I wish therefore to sell this temple and the marble and print some books. So I took up this from his mom, that is very fond of books, and he told me personally that if you get some money, print books. Therefore I am stressing on this point. Where is book, where is book, where is book? So kindly help me. This is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world. Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
So Prabhupada very humbly asked his disciples, please. You know, he could have ordered, but he said please. Because this is a volunteer movement. It's a volunteer organization. We're not paying anybody, we're not forcing anybody to do anything. So that means we have to buy into the plan out of our own volition. So, and for that we need to know why we're doing what we're doing. Somebody on the street is going to ask you, okay, why are you distributing these books? It's going to happen, I'm telling you. So, not only the people on the street are going to ask you, who else is going to ask you?
Yourself.
Yourself means your own mind, right? Talks to you. Hey, look at me. You. Why are you doing this? Has your mind ever asked you this question? Or is it just me? Do you have a mind? Or are you mindless? No, you're real people, right? Okay, so that means the real person's got a mind. And the mind is asking these questions. You know, all the time. Why? And the mind wants answers. So you better have good answers. Because to convince the world is easy. But to convince yourself, that's difficult. That's hard. So your homework is to write down your 108 reasons why you would like to share Krishna consciousness with people in the form of sankirtan. It sounds a little stark. You may give me just your top five, but they should be really your five reasons. You know, like what gets you out of bed in the morning? I don't just mean breakfast and getting through the day and, you know, people expect me to do something. But I mean something that you own, that you feel strongly about. Because when people ask you that question and you don't have a plausible answer, it not only makes you look foolish, but you're not very convincing. 99% of the time when people don't buy books, it's because they do not trust you. 99% is because there's a lack of trust. Because people have three questions in their mind when they meet you. What are those three questions?
Who are you?
Where are you from?
That's included, where you come from, all that. What's the second question?
What are you doing?
What are you doing means like, what's this book? Or what are you doing, yes. And the third question?
What do you want from me?
The bottom line.
What do you want from me?
Why should I take it?
Be a little more selfish.
How much?
Be a little more selfish.
What's in it for me?
What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? If you're able to answer these three questions within the first 17 seconds, not 30, not 15, 17 seconds, they will take your book. But for that, you have to be convinced. You have to know, who am I? Like before we just had a classic situation of identity crisis. You know, who is a sankirtan devotee? People are going to ask you, who are you? Well, I'm not really sure, you know. You mean like today or yesterday or tomorrow or, you know. So just tell them who you feel you are. But nobody's going to argue the truth because it's who you are. When I started out, I was 15, I told people I'm a monk, they look at me, they said, does your mom know that you're here? You know, the cops would pick me up, you know, and call my mother and say, you know, we got such and such here. Luckily, she didn't pick up the phone. Then I switched, I said, I'm a student. Okay, he's a student, fine, you know, we accept that. You know, he looks like a student. So you have to represent, you have to tell what you actually represent. You can say I'm a Hare Krishna, you can say, you know, I'm a housewife, I'm a student. You can say anything, but it's got to commute with reality. Because super soul in the heart of that person is not going to tolerate it if you lie in people's faces. Because there's the inside agent, Paramatma, who is in the heart of every living entity, Upadrashtanumantascha, Bharta Bhaktamayishvara, and he's going to tell them, this guy is lying. Lying through his teeth. And people know it. Why do they know it? Because God in their heart tells them so. Now, why does Krishna give them that information? Any idea why? You may get all worked up and upset. Why is Krishna working against my plan here, you know, to distribute these books? Sometimes it seems like that, isn't it? Why?
Because people have to be inspired to take the book and read it, not just to buy it.
That is one part. The biggest part is Krishna wants us to come closer to Him. And if we're playing games, we can't really come closer to Him. So, whatever is artificial, whatever is false, will not stand. It will be washed away. So Krishna is working with us to become more authentic and serious. So who are you? Is this clear? Is this resolved? It's an important point, you know? Like when you get up in the morning, ask yourself this question. Because this defines, identity defines purpose, it defines many things in life. Then what is this book? We're going to talk about this in a minute. And what's in it for me? That's something that I'd like to address right now. What is it that you want to give to people? What's your product? What's your message? In one word or less? Because you have to imagine, people are standing on a red light, and you see it's counting down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, what is it that you got that you want to give me? What do you want to give me?
Love of God.
That's three words. Love is good, you know? Just stick with one.
Happiness.
Happiness. Mercy.
Relief.
Relief. As long as you don't relieve yourself here, you know, just relief. What else?
Knowledge.
Contentment.
Intelligence.
Solutions.
Krishna.
Satisfaction.
Joy.
Information.
Knowledge.
Purpose.
Okay. Purpose, meaning. You know what people are looking for? They're looking for relationships. If you're ready to be their friend for 30 seconds, they will take your book, believe me or not. Can you do that? Can you be some stranger's friend for 30 seconds? And just be there, you know? Sometimes all you have to do is you're there and you smile. And you don't even talk. You're just there. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay. I know it's a little much just right after lunch. But that's what it boils down to. Because most people who can't get out there to do this, they can't get it over their own false ego that I got to be somebody's friend. What, Joe Schmo, you know, the regular schmuck on the street, I have to be his friend? For what? And we live in our own little bubble of I, me, and mine, and we go to the temple, and we count how many people, you know, nod at me, and give me respect, and say, okay, I know you, okay, I know you too, yes, I nodded, okay, yes. Huh? That's not where we derive our joy. That's not how we make spiritual advancement. We make spiritual advancement when we're actually... It's getting dark here. Open this. You can turn on the lights if you need, but otherwise... We make spiritual advancement when we surrender to Krishna. So, make a list of all the good things that you would like to give to people. That you would like to share with people. Because that's your message, you see? People are on a clock, you know. Parking is how much in London per hour? About 4 quid and 50p, right? About around there, roughly. Huh? Can you imagine? Parking is 500 rupees an hour. Ooh! That's expensive, right? And you want to talk philosophy? You want to tell me a little story about your knowledge? You know, I got terabytes of information, you know. I have the internet on 15 devices. From my bathroom to my kitchen to my bedroom. And you're talking about knowledge? I got 3 kids in school that I need to go and pick up right now. Be considerate. Prabhupada was very considerate. Maturity means the balance between courage and consideration. Very often we're very courageous. And don't get me wrong here, I'm just pushing your buttons to, you know, keep you awake and to make you think a little bit. To be courageous is wonderful. The Hare Krishna movement is the number one movement in this world for first contact. We're out there and we meet the people. We meet them on the streets, we meet them in the airports, we meet them at the shopping mall, we meet them at the train station, we meet them at their home, we meet them at the library, we meet them at the hospital. It's like, you know, the rabbit and the turtle, you know. Hello, I'm already here, you know. The devotee in the books. They're everywhere. We're very courageous. We go to places that are illegal, we go to places that are unimaginable to bring people Prabhupada's books. How considerate are we? Maturity is the balance between courage and consideration. It's wonderful to be courageous, but unless we're also considerate and we have the necessary Krishna consciousness to understand in what mindset the person is in, is not going to stick. They're not going to be able to appreciate the message. And that's not just true in the West, that's also true here. Like, you ever tried to stop somebody who's on his way to darshan, who wants to go and have darshan, and you try to stop them? And they get very annoyed because their mates, their friends, their family is already in there and they want to go and have darshan of the Lord. But you say, now you have to talk to me right now, okay? Why? Because I say so. Well, I say I'm not talking to you. And they just go and have darshan. So be considerate. Sometimes you see a person, they're not in their right state of mind. Let them move. You know, just say something nice. Smile at them. They'll come back for you. I was doing books in America at a concert and approached a man with five teenagers. Actually, they were very young, like between 12 and 14, in his car. And they were like jumping all over the place. You know, the car stops, the doors swing open, they all jump out. We want to go to the concert! Bah! And you know that kind of energy? So I wanted to talk to the man and give him books, but they are not in the right space. They were not in the right frame of mind. So I just told them, we're monks, we're distributing spiritual knowledge here. And then I saw, this is not happening. Have a fantastic day, you know. Thank you. So they left. After 10 minutes, they came back. I think the show hadn't even opened yet, you know, but they were so energetic. They just needed to run. So after 10 minutes, they came back and they brought me a big container with mangoes, strawberries, papaya, guava, pineapple, you know, first-class fruit, all cut up, you know, sealed. And they said, you're a monk. You know, this is from God's garden with love for you. Boom. And they gave me that. And I said, okay, very nice. You know, this is from God's teachings, you know, with love for you. You know, I give you this. And it was really a moment of truth. Sometimes you have to just wait and let the game come to you. You know that expression? Don't chase it. Wait and let the game come to you. I was taking a flight from Dublin to Heathrow, and next to me was a businessman in a three-piece suit, and I wanted to give him a book, but he was so internal. And he was working on his computer, and he didn't even look over to me. He didn't even talk to me. He was very kind of reserved, very conservative kind of fellow. So I didn't know what to do. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? No. It's the wrong answer. No points for that.
Prashadam.
Yes. How did you know? You take prashadam. So I just thought, okay, you know, I can't talk to this man right now because he would just not appreciate it. So I just took out my lunch packet and I opened up and I started eating, you know, samosas and kachoris that the devotees had given me. So all of a sudden he looked over and he said, what kind of a religion are you? And I said, you want to try some? And he took the samosa and he bought the book. So sometimes you just have to wait. Sometimes I take a 7-hour flight and I just pray and meditate. And then just when we get off the plane, just when people get, you know, when they get their handbag from the overhead compartment, you know you got 20 seconds and you know who is your target. Then you talk to them and you give them the book. Sometimes you have to wait. You know how long Prabhupada waited? Did you ever read A Lifetime in Preparation?
44 years.
Prabhupada did his family life, he did his business, he did his vanaprastha life. Then he went to Jhansi, published his books, went to Delhi. Then he went to New York. It didn't jump start like boom. Prabhupada was patient. Are you ready to be patient? We're all patients. And a patient is supposed to be patient. Now, I'm a little more forceful and forthcoming than the average devotee because it comes with my personality and with my service. And just extract the essence, okay? Just extract the essence. You can put your own little spicing, your own little masala on it. The point was, what was the point? Where did we get off the track?
What's in it for me?
Exactly. That's the bottom line. What do I get out of this? People really want to know. Otherwise, why should I give you my time? Why should I give you my money? India is a different ball game. Okay, we're going to talk about India, but in a general context. What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? Sometimes I just go up to people and I put the book in their hand and I tell them, I'm teaching people about happiness. Have you heard about happiness? And it's a rhetorical question. Many don't answer, but they start to smile. You've heard of happiness, right? Everybody talks about it. But where is it? Can you buy it at the store? How do you get it? This book will help you to experience the happiness that's already there in your heart. You're running throughout your whole life, but happiness is waiting for you inside. Did you ever watch martial arts movies? I know you're all devotees. Nobody watches movies and nobody ever did anything bad in life. Did you ever watch martial arts movies?
Yes.
Now you have the guys who go hoo-ha, hoo-ha, and they wear all the suits and they fly around and do all the fancy stuff, right? And then you have what's called the samurai. It's the little skinny guy, you know? When I think samurai, I think Janani Bas. You know? You don't see him coming, isn't it? He looks like a little skinny person, you know? But then he takes out the sword and you go like, whoa, what happened, you know? What happened to the illusion? It's gone. Prabhupada was a samurai. With his words, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword. With his words, he destroyed illusion. You can just take shloka straight from the Gita, from the Bhagavatam, and you just tell that shloka. Krishna svadam upagate. Or, you know, tatvak visarga janataga vitlavo yasmin prati shlokam abadavapyapi. You just give the translation that this knowledge sparks a revolution in the heart of misguided humanity. And you see what the reaction is. You know how many people are looking for a mission in life? How many people want to see some change? How many people are dissatisfied? So, that's what's in it for me. Strike a chord. And for that, to make it easier, we're working with what's called buzzwords. You ever heard of buzzwords? Buzzwords, the key words that we just used before. Just work with key words. You see, in martial arts, you have the screamers, you have the jumpers, and then you have the other people who just look for the one weak point. And they just push that one point till the person falls over. Did you ever hear a Prabhupada class where Prabhupada was talking to some scientist or some Christian or some Mayavadi, and he just got the guy by the neck, by one point, and he just was driving it, and driving it, and driving it, and driving it, till the guy fell over? Have you ever heard a class like that?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you haven't heard Prabhupada's lectures. So don't do all that running around in circles and screaming and jumping and yelling. Just find out their weak point and stick to that. What is it that people are looking for? Everybody wants a friend. Everybody wants respect. Everybody wants some recognition. People want to be validated. If you just say, hello, how are you? Thank you for coming here. How does that make you feel? You're already smiling. You're not sure if you should say anything, but that's already half the rent, you know? You're already halfway there. So, if you can get people just to like you, you're almost there. Okay? You're almost there. So that's just as a prelude, just as an introduction to get into the topic. How's the sound doing? Can you hear me well, or Do I need amplification?
Good.
Okay. Now, Prabhupada, very often when it comes to book distribution, he told the when he came to a book distribution, he said, don't teach them techniques, just teach them how to be sincere. Sincerity means anyabhilashita shunyam, not to have any other compromising factors. It comes from sinceros, without wax. Because the artists who would do the sculptures, who were not so expert, they would cover the cracks with wax. So a person who was sincere was a person who was without any wax. So how do we become without any wax? We have to expose ourselves to the fire of Sankirtan. When we go out there and we do the chanting and we exert ourselves, then everything that was there initially becomes purified. Kama sarva kama va. We start out wherever we are with whatever baggage we're bringing, but we're getting purified through the process of devotional service. Now every endeavor, 80-20, remember, right? Every endeavor is 20% inspiration and 80% perspiration. Are you ready to shed a little sweat? I know you are, because I see you out there, you know, on the book table every day, come hell or high water. He's out there doing it. And that's why he's blissful. Huh? So what do you want? You want to walk away with a diploma? You want to walk away with somebody who pats you on the back? Or you want to walk away with some real foundation in Krishna consciousness? When you're satisfied, nobody has to tell you, you're satisfied now. You just ate a good lunch. You can go home now. Hello, welcome, and goodbye. No. Satisfaction is something real that you experience in your own heart. So, but for that we have to be ready to put in a little bit of effort and come out of comfort zone. Mayapur is pretty comfortable right now. Are you comfortable? Okay, at this point in my workshops, I usually have everybody seat in some other place, you know, get up and move over there. We're not going to do all these things because we have a little time here. But be comfortable is not the goal of existence. If you learn how to be comfortable outside of comfort zone, that is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, Naivod Vijaya Paradurate Vaitaranyas. In that beautiful shloka, he mentions that I have no problems in life, but my problem is when I see the suffering of the fools and rascals. And you know what? If you start worrying for others and less worrying about yourself, all of a sudden, your own problems, they shrink to about this size. That's the size of our problems. This war is going on as we speak. All kinds of disease, all kinds of economical and political catastrophes. And we're sitting here in the Dham, you know, chilling and taking in the Shastra and having a good time. But what is our mind telling us? Oh, my body, oh, my mind, oh, my this, oh, my that, right? But we could be saying, hey, I'm in Mayapur. This is the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Dipanchatattva was dancing and chanting and taking out the big Harinams and flooding the entire Nadia area with the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Can you believe it? It's a reality. And it's still going on if we have the eyes to see it. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. To develop that vision of appreciation, we need to exert ourselves a little bit. Huh? Shed some blood, go in the trenches. Prabhupada did it. Prabhupada was a book distributor, you see? He said, I could not get any help in India, so I went to the West. Why? Because in America, people are so expedient, and they're so productive, and they're so over the top, that I only have a few years left, and whatever I want to do, I can do it there. And he did it. With the help of the Americans. But right now, we're not making any devotees in the West. We're making devotees in India, we're making devotees in Russia, but we're not making devotees in the West. Why? Because our outreach index Green Day. Visibility, relevance, impact. And this will lead to result. For the most part, we're not visible. People can't see us. Hare Krishna? You know, George Harrison, Beatles. George who? And I'm like, kid, when were you born, you know? The guy says, oh, 2001. Okay, understand. Relevance. Is this relevant to me? Are you a bunch of Indians who do a bunch of Indian rituals? What's the relevance to me? And impact. Are we able to actually impact people's lives? Prabhupada was a samurai. One time, Haridas, who was a young street thug, he was a pickpocket in Bombay. He saw a big billboard, Hare Krishna Festival, Prabhupada's picture. Prabhupada was wearing a gold watch. And he said, I'm going to meet this man and I'm going to steal his watch. Because he's a young kid, you know, he's, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. So he went to the temple, and he was there in Prabhupada's darshan, and everybody got up and left, and he was still there, and he looked and stared at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked him, so, what have you come from? What have you come for? What do you want? He said, I've come to steal your watch. Prabhupada just took it off his arm. He said, you don't have to steal it. I'm giving it to you as a gift. He never left. He's still here. He's the one who brought all the Hare Krishna movies into the TV in India. He himself later on became a movie actor, became famous as one of the bad guys, as the big villains, and is the one who has continuously broadcasted all the Hare Krishna programs on the major TV stations and networks in India. Because that's his connection, that's his world, that's how he moves. And then you see him, he looks very calm, you know, he had a stroke, he looks not very fit. But he's deep. He's a mover. You see, sometimes we're spinning our wheels. Did you ever ride a bicycle? How many of you have the experience? Otherwise, half your life is wasted. Right? A bicycle. You know, there's different gears on the bicycle. So sometimes you're moving very fast, but you're getting nowhere. Have you ever had that experience in life? That you were spinning your wheels, like, real fast, but there was no traction. You were not getting anywhere. And sometimes, you hardly move. You know? You hardly move. But big things are happening. Prabhupada is sitting in Vrindavan, and he's translating the Bhagavad Gita. And it looks very quiet. But there's an impact. Dhruva Maharaj was in Madhuban, in Vrindavan, standing on one leg, chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The entire universe shook and choked from the power of his mantra. What is your mantra? What are you chanting?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So if you think, I don't have an outreach impact, I don't have any results, I can't reach people, people don't see me, they don't care about me, they don't hear about me, well, maybe I should start hearing my rounds better. Maybe I should just, you know, do my meditation properly. And all of a sudden, you go out on the walking street and you just stand there and you just hold out your finger and 5 people stop and come up to you and say, excuse me, can I help you? Can I do something for you? You just have to be there. Just by your presence, by your gravity. You see, in martial arts, there's 2 things. One is the weak point of the opponent. And the first point is your own stability. That you're actually grounded. If you're weak, like for instance, this looks like a very good thing, right? But you can throw this over with one little tip. And we've seen it many times happen, right? It looks like big and tall and strong. But with one little move, it's gone. In In the same way, all of us, if we're not rooted, if we're not grounded in Krishna consciousness, Maya will push all of our buttons and we fall over. And Maya knows this exactly. She knows what is your weak point. Right? Have you ever had that experience? What about this here? What about that? What about the other thing? Huh? So, Sankirtan is the school of life. You can write that down in your little notebooks. Don't let school interfere with your education, okay? So we're here not to get a diploma. We're here not to just go through some motions in a mutual self-admiration society because we have our nice little gig here, cozy little club. But we're here to actually connect with Krishna's potency, with his internal energy. And that's something very deep. That's something very profound. And that's what's happening on Sankirtan. To feel that energy and to be a recipient, an instrument of that energy. When you see people more blissful than you are, you ever had that experience? You're giving something to somebody and they're more happy than you are. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Because I just gave you this, you know? So I'm the one who is giving it. I should be more than you. No. But we're there and we're capable to see it and to appreciate it. We were doing Harinam in Los Angeles, Santa Monica Promenade, and there's a 70-year-old lady standing on the other side, and she watched. And after 10 minutes of watching, she came over and she asked the devotee next to me, "Son, are you taking drugs?" And the devotee said, "No." She said, "That's really sad, because I was ready to buy whatever it is that you're selling, because you guys really look happy." People don't want eternal life. They want happiness that lasts forever. If you've got happiness, I'm ready to pay whatever it takes. When I came to the temple in 84, I saw people who were happy. And nobody has to tell you that, you know, walk around with a t-shirt or a diploma or something, you know, "I'm happy now." You can feel it, you can see it. And then what do? You fall at their feet. And you say, "Please teach me. I want what you have. I'm ready to do whatever it takes. Even if you don't know that I exist." And this potency is available. It's not restricted. There's no time, place, or circumstance. So, we got less than an hour. But how are we doing? Are these things relevant to you? Does there make some sense here? Because we can talk mantras, tantras, yantras, we can talk techniques till the cows come home. Which is pretty soon, because the sun is going down. But at the end of the day, what we really care is that you walk out of here and you dare to make that first step. Why? Not because you must, not because you're not going to get initiated, not because people will not love you or accept you otherwise. Why? Because I want to. And you know what? Desire is the strongest thing that there is. If you really want something real bad, you'll figure out how to do it. Krishna has given us that prerogative. But how to choose the right things? Not that we end up with a few broken pieces of glass and we lament. How to make the right choices in life. To be a recipient and a messenger of that love, of that happiness of Krishna. He's got that compassion in his heart. You see him every day. He knows the past, present, and future. And he's still smiling. So why should I be morose? Krishna told Brahma, "Don't be anxious and don't be depressed. Whatever you're praying for has been granted so many times. So what are we worrying about? There will be Khichdi tomorrow. Don't worry. There will be people who, you know, who talk to you. Don't worry. To find meaningful service is the most valuable thing in Krishna consciousness. That doesn't depend on position, on situation, on education, on stature. That is substance. People want substance. We're living in very superficial times, in a very transient world. But if you're experiencing substance in your Krishna consciousness, people, thank you, Srivastava, people want what you have. And they will do what it takes to get it. And that makes it very easy, you know. Sometimes you meet people like that. They say, wow, for me? Okay, what do I have to do? You say, well, you know, you accept it. You start with just by accepting it. But that means we have to lower our levels of defense, our false ego. Like I'm hammering you guys a little bit because, you know, I'm trying to get through to your soul. But we have our layers of, you know, of our upadis, our identification. Oh, why is he talking to me like that? Why does he look at me like that? What does he want from me? I'm happy, okay? I don't want anything from you. I'm happy, okay? That's why. Beleza. About languages, you just have to learn one key word in every language of the world, okay? In Portuguese, it's beleza, isn't it? You say beleza, and the person starts to smile like a bug in May. And it just, you just learn that one word. Okay? What does it mean? He has to explain. What does beleza mean?
It's like, all
right.
It's beautiful. It's fantastic.
Cool, so cool.
Yeah. So, we're going back to... You see, that what happens when you get carried away. But like on Sankirtan, sometimes you get carried away, but the main thing is never stop talking, okay? You can even drink water while the people laugh, you know? So, never stop talking, because nothing is worse than silence. If you're in a relationship and the other person doesn't talk, that's bad. That's really bad, right? At least they're yelling, at least they're shouting, at least they're recognizing you're there. But if they don't talk, ooh, that's bad. So whatever happens, keep on talking, okay? And yes, you have to push a little bit. Because if you don't push, nothing gets done. It's like when you do crowd control. Hari Sori told me, Prabhupada told him here in Mayapur, when you do crowd control, you have to push, otherwise the people don't move. But never stop smiling. As soon as you stop smiling, people get upset, angry, feel offended, and they start fighting you. Same thing on Sankirtan. You have to push a little, but smile. Okay. Can you do that? I know it's hard. It's a challenge. So we were at the point of lowering our own defense mechanisms. We all got these missiles out and our own identifications and our own layers, you know, they're caked on us from all our different experiences in life. If you can just deal with people heart to heart, person to person, you know what? People are nice. They're actually nice. You know? They're parts and parcels of Krishna. They are eternal brothers and sisters. And if they can see that you don't have, you're not hung up, you're not stuck in some box, that you're just trying to do good for them, they will reciprocate. It's very natural. It comes very easy. Okay, before we do the Western approach, we'll do the Indian approach here. When you deal with Indians, the first thing you tell them is what? No, the first thing. Hare Krishna! And just by their response, you can feel their pulse. You know where they're at. You see? Before you're Krishna conscious, you have to be conscious. You have to be alert. You have to actually watch what's going on. If you see the person, don't run after him. Let him go. Turn around. Somebody's already smiling at you. Can you do that for me? Please. If somebody doesn't want to talk to you, let them go. Okay? This will save you a lot of grief in life. Alright? Let them go. There's 7 billion people on the planet. And many of them are in India. Don't run after them, okay? They will come and find you. Turn around. Somebody already smiles. Alright? You say, Hare Krishna. And then, you know, you do the pranams, like that. Then you say, Kemonachen, how are you? K Kemon Achen. Somebody can write it down so people can read it. Kemon Achen. How are you? How's it going? What's up, dog? You know, just how are you doing? In some cultures, anyway, we get to the Western stuff later on. Just ask people, how are you doing? And they may not answer, but they register. You know, like the little alien, the little green guy who sits on the side of the road? What does it say on his sign? Have you ever seen a little green guy sitting on the side of the road with a sign? You never seen aliens. Okay. If you ever happen to meet one, if he's a real alien, he's got a sign and it says, "We've come in peace. Take us to your leader." Okay? The first message that you have to communicate to the person is, "I'm a friend. I'm not hostile. I'm not here as an aggressor. I'm your friend." Okay? Got it? And how do you do that? By saying hello, by smiling, by asking how you're doing. Just, it's called civility, you know, to be civil. Sometimes we're spiritual, but we're not very civil. You know, like when you see what's going on in the temple sometimes, pushing, shoving, you know, it's like a rugby match. You know? Not very spiritual. And not even very civil. So, to be alert. What other things can you say that make people feel happy? Like in China, you ask people, what did you eat, right?
Yes.
Huh? How do you say that in Chinese?
Nichisamo.
Nichisamo? Nichisamo? And you see, he's already smiling. Where is your father from?
Mauritius.
Are you sure? Are you Chinese? You see? You say that one magic line, and the guy's finished. He will take the book. Why? Because you asked him. You walk by those guards who are there, security guards, and they're stuffing their face with their maslamuri, you know? And you say, you know, Balo Achen, maslamuri kijai, you know? You just have to know the key words. It's not so complicated. So you say, Hare Krishna, how are you? Then, Apnar Bari Kotai, where is your home? Because home sweet home is the most important thing. And if you know that he's from Ranagat, and Ranagat is a very important, prestigious place, you know, somewhere over there, between here and Calcutta, they will listen to you. They will take your book. Okay? Can you ask people, where are you from? Or is that too outrageous? Is that getting too personal? Hey, you know, none of your business, right? You know, what's your problem, man? That's New York, you know. But here, no problem. Where are you from? And they're very happy. They will tell you. Apnar Bari Kotai. Can somebody write this down, please? Someone already knows. So, and then you say, I'm from Mayapur, you know. I'm from here, or I'm from Videsh. I'm from Switzerland, or China, or Russia, or whatever. You know what's going on here? We're making it personal. I know it sounds scary, but as soon as there is a relationship, the person can't run away. They can't get out of it. Why? Because it's too personal. We're already friends, you know? He knows my home. He asked me how I'm doing. Oh, this is your family here? How many times have you been to Mayapur? Wow, you've already been here 5 times. That's wonderful. Did you have darshan? Did you have prashanam? That's all you have to ask them. Don't ask them which caste, which job, how much money. Don't ask these questions. Okay? A job, you might, but not always. Don't argue philosophy. Now, one point that's very important with Indians, as soon as you put the book in their hand, now, these are just the first few lines, that's the introduction part. That's where 40% can go wrong, you know? 40% can go wrong. Why? Because I still see it, you know? Devotees stand there and they go... You like that? You like that? She's a demon, I know. It's Bhagavad Gita, you know? Have you ever seen somebody do that move? Have you ever done that move? I have done it. We have all done it. It's stupid. First of all, don't put the book to the face. in your face.
It's not nice. Don't do that to people.
Are you falling for it with principles?
Don't do that stuff. Okay? Write it down. It's out.
You save yourself a lot of grief here, okay? I'm here giving this workshop. This is called the master class. Why is it the master class? Not because I'm the master. I'm the servant. But I've learned from the masters. Because I paid attention. Through the school of hard knocks. I've made all the mistakes that you can make. And even some that are not in the book. I also made those. Why? Because Krishna wanted me to go through this so I can tell you about it. So he can save you some energy, some grief, and you can focus your energy on preaching. Okay? So, give the book to the hand. But first, you do this stuff, then the person stops, the person smiles, the person pays attention. Okay? If they don't stop, they keep on walking, let them go. Alright? Very rare exceptions. For the most 99%, let them go. If they don't want to talk to you. Okay, then the next thing, very important. Put the book in their hand. Very often you just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and then they go. Have you ever seen this scenario? You have to actually put the book in their hand. Now when it's Indians, what's the first thing they will say? I already have it or I already know it, right? That's the real response, okay? So when you put the book in the person's hand, I tell them, this book is not for you. You do that. This book is not for you. Because you already know everything, right? And you already have everything. I knew it. I could sense it. But you know somebody that doesn't have and doesn't know everything yet, right? Because you know many people. So you give this book to somebody who doesn't have it yet. Can you do that for me, please? No. Why not? You don't have money. How much money you got?
1 cent.
Huh?
1 cent.
1 cent. That's okay, you know, he's together with his friends. So I say, everybody chip in. I did 6 Gitas on Gita Jayanti. How? I just put him in my bike, and I was just moving around, going to class, going back from class. And whenever I met a bunch of young guys, I just stopped, and I did the Hare Krishna, the handshake, and then I put a book in the guy's hand. You know, and I said, nice sunglasses, nice shoes, nice t-shirt, whatever you say, you know, to keep them happy. And then the money part came, and I said, okay, everybody chip in. So they all just started, you know, together, they bought the book. It's possible. It's doable. Where there is a will, there is a way. You will always find the person who will take the book. Krishna responds to the desire of the devotee. Okay? So, tell them, this is not for you. Can you say that? I know it sounds kind of... This chair's here, still. Also for you there? There's more chairs? Okay? Don't argue philosophy. Don't get into sampradayas, into siddhanta, into rasa and tattva. We're not out there to argue or to convince people. We're out there to inspire people. Just take it. It's good for you. Today is a very... Do you know what day is today? Do you know today's... You know, tomorrow is Purnima, but you know, just know the days of the week. Today's Friday. Did you know that? That today's Friday? It's a very auspicious day. It's very good, you know, to do pious deeds. And I can see you're a pious person. So, give them the book. Then, closing the deal, we'll do that later on in the... other types of distribution. Keep it short. Any presentation, 20 seconds, 1 minute, couple of minutes. That's all it takes, really. You know, most people you can immediately see whether they're going to take or they're not going to take. And it mostly has to do with our own spiritual potency. Whether we're actually connected. Whether we can actually inspire them. All these 6 people had already been approached on Gita Jayanti because you guys were out there asking everybody. Now you might say that's a bad thing. For me it was a very good thing. because they had already seen the books, they had already heard the story. So all I had to do was go there, give them the book, smile, and take the money. That's all I had to do, because he did all the job. So actually, he gets all the credit, because he did the hard part. I did the easy part. Now, sometimes it's the other way around. You have to do the hard part. You have to do the smiling, the talking, and somebody else will give the book. Is that okay with you? I know it's okay, because you're a selfless servant. You see? That's what bhakti yoga means. Sometimes you do all the job and somebody else gets the credit. Is that okay with you? It's okay, isn't it? Yeah. That's our philosophy, isn't it? We do all the service and Krishna enjoys it. And his pleasure is our pleasure. Because your heart feels satisfied. Sometimes people just come walking up to you and they just hand you money. And you say, hey, I want to tell you my little story. And they say, I don't need to hear your little story. Somebody already told it to me. I just want to get your book. No, I need to tell them. No, here, just take it out. Did you ever get that? It's kind of funny, you know? The mind goes kind of... So, it's not about us. We're not the doers. You see, we have so many beautiful concepts in our philosophy. But we need vigyan, realization. Paper is tolerant. I can put anything on this. Realization. People are looking for realization. They'll ask you, why are you doing this? I tell them, rasam. Anybody from South India? Rasam. Right?
Yeah.
That word, when somebody tells me he's from South India, I say rasam. And they know what I'm talking about, right? Because that's where the taste is. And they're convinced. Because they know where the taste is. So, become a connoisseur, you see? Arjuna collected weapons. We collect mantras. What is your mantra? You know? Exchange with other devotees. How do you talk? How do you interact? What are your mantras? What is your practice for learning shlokas? I tell you what's my practice. I'm a lazy guy. I just chant them. I just go on chanting them, you know? Because I like the sound. And after a while, it just sticks to you. I'm too lazy to do all the technical stuff and all that. I made the point about the, you know, the punchline, you find that key word, that real key word that sums up the whole verse. But otherwise, just say it, just say it. Any verse that you've said 100 times, you own it. It becomes part of you. So, what are these books all about? Okay, we get to that part. Now here, we're leaving the Indian and we're stepping into the international. Are you satisfied with that? That's usually what it takes, you know. Be nice to people. You can be gentle, humble. Yes?
Closing.
Closing. Yeah. Yes. Just tell people, this is what we get, you know. Just people give donations. Usually these books are very expensive, but today is a very special day. It's your lucky day. So it's just this much. If they don't speak English, I just show them the money, you know? You know that expression, show me the money? Huh? It's very easy, you know? I just show them the money. I just say, you know, this much or this much. And then they get it. Even if you don't speak the language. And I do that pretty much everywhere I go because, you know, you can't really learn all the lines. But you can learn that. Somebody knows how to ask for contribution. How do you say in Bengali? Well, yeah, XO or USO, you know, you can just say 200, you know, you just say the number. Like that. Somebody write it down? Usually I tell them, oh yeah, we're still in Bengal. Okay, we're still in Bengal, we haven't left yet. Usually, you know, at this point you need to make a joke because things become a little tense. Work with me, people. They get a little spaced out, you know, and so you need to say something catchy. So I say, snan koro, dan koro, you know? You understand? Snan koro means you go and take your bath, and now you give a donation, okay? They all get that. It's not complicated. You go for your holy bath, and then you give a donation. Snan koro, dan koro. If it rhymes, it's fine. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it rhymes, okay? And then I open, and I say, dana patra. Dan patra. Dan means donation. Dan. That's also all over India. You know, that works. But then when they take out Then you have to become specific. You have to say how much you need to get for each book. Okay? That's how I distribute books. But you better, for the Bengali side, you better go to Prabhu, to the book table, and you work with them, and you learn a few lines. Mostly here I've seen, if you're just enthusiastic and nice, people will take it. They come here to see the foreigners. They come here to see the Westerners. That's what they've come to see. They got temples in every village up the Wazoo, up the Ganges, you know. They came for you. They want to see you. You know, sometimes this whole group of people walk by you. They walk by you and they go, they see how you react. Have you ever had that? They go right in your face. And they see how you react, you know. And they look, is the guy cool or is he uptight, you know? So, they want to see, is this for real? Or is this person just, you know, is he fake? You never know. Because very often, you remember what we said about trust? 99% of the time when people don't buy, it's because they don't trust you. Because they look at the book, they look at you, they look at the book, they look at you, and if the two don't match, I'm not buying. Yeah, it's that simple. Because if it says Hare Krishna, but I don't see Hare Krishna here, then I'm not taking. I'm not convinced. Why? Because the Lord in the heart tells me, no, it's bad. Don't do it. That's Krishna, making us more sincere, drawing out our love for Him. So in other cultures, there's so many things you can do. First, you need to stop people to engage them in a conversation. You do that by approaching them, making eye contact, making yourself visible, saying hi, hello, how's it going, how's life. Sometimes you shake hands, sometimes you do the punch, sometimes you do nothing. It's depending. These are all variables. But the concept is you get the person to become aware of you and to actually talk to you. And for that, sometimes you have to grab their attention. Okay? Like what I'm doing right now. I'm projecting a lot of energy here to get your attention. So sometimes you may say things like, meditation or medication? What's your favorite recreation? You know, riddles, rhymes, people like it. You can write these down. These are not copyrighted. We came up with them, and they're, you know, public domain. You can use them. We only take 10% of your mercy, okay? Whatever mercy you're getting, 10%. That's our commission. Another one is, you have some young students, they're a little proud, and you're not really sure whether they're going to stop. So what do you do to stop them? Five guys, you know, 20 years old, all sporty type of people. So I asked them, are you rock stars or regular losers? Or happy human beings? And their mind goes, bing, 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 bing. And they're like, you just say something to make them perplexed. It just puts them off guard. It just, you know, you catch them off guard. And they stop, and somebody reacts. And whoever that one person is who reacts, who responds, boom. I talk to him, I give him the book. So to engage groups, to engage families, just go with the person who actually reciprocates. Don't be stereotyped. In any situation, there is always one person who actually connects. Have you noticed? There is always one person who actually connects with you. Just be happy and work with that person. The others will, you know, they will follow in. They will follow suit. Okay? Then, again, yes?
With some input on distributing books on corporate industries.
Corporate businesses. I don't know how much relevant is this for you, but when you go to corporates, you have to know, do you want to talk to the boss, you want to talk to the secretary, you want to talk to the workers, you want to talk to everybody. You know, there's many variables there. But corporates are a very nice place to distribute books because people are in a business mode. They're buying and selling. They're in the marketplace. Money is not the issue. The issue is, what is it? What's your product? What's your message? What's your mantra? Tell me. You got 20 seconds. Impress me. Get, you know? Like your mind goes blank. You have to be able to say something cohesive that has impact, that makes sense, that's audible, comprehensible, and do it in a natural flow. And how do you learn to do that? By practice. Just like, for instance, books on yoga and meditation. teaches you how to get free from stress. Can you write that down? Books on yoga and meditation teaches you how to get free from stress. Have you heard of stress before?
Yes.
Really? No, you look very peaceful. I can see it in your eyes. Are you a spiritual person? What's your secret? What do you do? And the guy says, oh, I walk my dog, you know, or I ride a bicycle, or I'm just a good person. That's fine. It's your point of entry, okay?